Ninurta. Ninurta has many different names, and just like many of the others from planet Nibiru. Just about every civilization had a name for Ninurta because he had a powerful position. And that would be why, and the reason he had that powerful position in whatever many different civilizations is because he followed his father Enlil to the throne. The throne would pass through from King Anu to Enlil, who is his son of the double seed, and Enlil's son of the double seed and heir is Ninurta. So Ninurta fits the law of the double seed, law of succession, and he's the oldest son of the would-be king Enlil, and Enlil's half-sister, Ninhursag. So Enlil and Ninhursag have a son, Ninurta, who becomes Enlil's double seed heir to the throne of King Anu. Being that Enlil and Ninhursag are both offspring of Anu, Ninurta is the second generation of offspring to Anu. Very powerful. He's the one in line. So with Enlil running Earth, and next to the king in power, Enlil relies on Ninurta to get things done. And Ninurta is quite capable of doing that. So his mother is Ninhursag, beautiful woman, very intelligent. Now, of Enlil's direct descendants on Earth, he sent Enlil, Enki, Ninhursag, and Bo. Bo becomes Ninurta's wife, his spouse. So Bo, who is the daughter of King Anu, an aunt to Ninurta, becomes Ninurta's wife. So they live a long time, and their range of ages are immense and different. So you've got good connections, okay? So any son born of Bo and Ninurta, you would have a double-seated son and heir. You follow? So that's that double seed. So they married their sister, their half-sister, or their first cousin. And in Ninurta's case, he married his aunt. Okay, well, Bo, his aunt, she is the lady who the dead brings back to life. She's a healer, a doctor, and a warden of prisons. She's an enforcer as well as a healer. They have a son, by the way, named Damu, son to Bo and Ninurta, and he is a doctor. And there are artifacts of Bo and Damu doing work on patients. Very interesting artifacts. So let's see, Ninurta had his main residence, I guess, was in Lagash, a city called Lagash, where he would have a step pyramid, and from the step pyramid, the city would spring around it, and now you've got your workers. But he had others as well. So basically, each one of these main descendants of the king had their own city, their own, that built up around their residence, and therefore they would have their king, and in many cases their high priest, and their many city-state. And up the river, 50 miles, is his cousin's city-state, or his uncle's, and on up is his father's, and blah, blah. So the main gods, the ones from the royal family, they're there in their ziggurats. And as an example, Ninurta's father would have a temple to Ninurta in his father's city. So as Ninurta travels from city to city, he's got like a motel, a personal motel, where he stays when he comes to visit in that city, in a motel, or should we say temple, when he visits in that city. So it's just a system of motels for them, but being their god, their temples. Temple to Ninurta here, temple to Ninurta there. The main temple to Ninurta is usually in Ninurta's city, where he's living most of the time, and that would be Lagash. Okay, Ninurta had some sons. Like I said, one of them is the name Damu, and he's a doctor. He also had Ab-Bo and Ig-Alum. Then there's Nen Karnuna, I'm not sure who that is. One of Ninurta's daughters is Ninsun, very important goddess. And Ninsun marries a giant mixed breed king. So one of their offspring that mixed with the earthlings produces the first kings on earth, the mixed breeds. And those first kings are giants, like the gods are. And they live a long time. They're bigger, stronger, faster, smarter, and live a long time. So anyway, Ninurta's daughter, Ninsun, marries a mixed breed king, Lugalbanda. He was a king in Uruk. Anyway, they have a son called Gilgamesh, who follows Lugalbanda as king of Uruk. Gilgamesh is probably the most popular name coming out of Mesopotamia, because in school there's a text that many people have to read, and it's the Epic of Gilgamesh. It's a major event. So the Epic of Gilgamesh becomes very popular in college. Okay, Ninurta's spouse, Bo, ends up having tuplets, like, you know, like a litter of kids. I mean, how they do this, I don't know. So anyway, that's kind of a quick overview on Narta. Looking at the website, you know, you come to the main page and scroll down past Alalu, past Anu, past Enlil, down the same column, the first column. And right under Enlil is his son in there, Ninurta. And you click on that, you're on Ninurta's page. When you put your cursor on the slideshow, it'll stop sliding. And a little bit of the description will pop up of what you're looking at. These are very interesting. I mean, you can see on the ground there are something going on, but up in the sky, you've got one of those gods and his flying saucer. Okay, so as you're looking at these artifacts, which are very important, and by the way, that flying saucer is hovering over the tree of life in many of these cases. Okay, well, as you go through these artifacts, you'll see different ways, different cuts, different scenes that Ninurta was in. Ninurta had, he's the one that Enlil relied on to execute Alalu. Ninurta is also the one who retrieved the Tablets of Destinies for his father Enlil. There was a time when the space truckers came down and took any wife they wanted. And the leader of the space truckers, Anzu, tried to take power from Enlil. And he stole Enlil's Tablets of Destinies. I guess it's some type of decision-making thing. That gives him some sort of power. I'm not real sure what the Tablet of Destinies is, other than you must have it to rule. So it seems. And being that Anzu took off with it, stole it and took off with it, Enlil's upset. He wants it back, and he calls, you know, the one he trusts the most. That's his eldest boy, Ninurta. And says, Ninurta, go hunt down Anzu and bring me back my Tablets of Destiny. So Ninurta gets in his bird, his flying machine, and he takes off looking for Anzu. And they find each other, and they get into aerial battles. There are texts concerning this that you'll should find here on his page. And that's the, let me see if I can find the name of it. It's slipping me right off. It's his battle with Anzu. The Myth of Anzu. That's the name of the text. You'll find a slideshow and the text under Ninurta Battles Anzu, the EGG leader, meaning space trucker leader, who stole Enlil's Tablets of Destinies. So there's a slideshow pertaining just to Enlil and Anzu who appears as an animal fighting each other in an aerial battle. So you would see in some cases the Nerta's mother Ninhursag warning him to be careful. And Ninurta with his arrow, you know, his some type of dart that he's going to shoot out of his flying saucer at Anzu. Anzu's a bad guy, so he's a beast. And you see these artifacts in different positions of Ninurta attacking, trying to get that Tablet of Destinies back, which he does. And he ends up killing Anzu. So Ninurta, he's a warrior. He's a tough one. One of the toughest. So that'll give you a little heads up about Ninurta. And there's many, you know, texts about him, about his temples, and he gets involved with the kings. And like I said, his daughter is the mother. She becomes the mother of three kings, who were kings for a long time, but long time meaning like 400 years and such. That's because they were the offspring of the goddess Ninsun. So her mixed breed husband and her produced giant mixed breeds who became heroes of old, men of renown, according to the Bible. That's what they called them. So these are very interesting artifacts, and they all come from Mesopotamia, and they're all giving you a scene that happened on Earth when the gods walked with man. But basically, the gods were walking with mixed breed man. They weren't walking with common man very often. Just an earthling. The earthling would stand 5-6 feet tall, maybe, you know. And the mixed breed king, he standing like 10 feet tall, maybe even 12. And the gods, well, they were 16 feet tall. So you're talking about very powerful. Walking on the earth, and they can simply step on an earthling and kill him. So, I mean, they keep their distance from them just for safety reasons and for cleanliness reasons, not wanting to pick up disease and what have you.